streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, January the 27th, 2025. Thanks for listening. We thank you every day for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
All right. So, a lot to talk about today. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. I think for a while, at least, I'm not completely through traveling. I'm a traveling man here. been in the car. You gonna join us, Ed? Or?
Yes.
Sorry. He's ordering. Pizza.
It is work related. It's about a meeting. I was.
If everybody just talk amongst yourselves, as Ed texts during the show here, just tell us when you're through texting.
There, you now have my full attention. It was about a meeting.
I was trying to talk to you, and we weren't making any kind of connection here. So I was going to go, you guys, Fred and I'll do the show, dude.
You know, it is, some people can multitask.
Yeah.
I really can't.
I can't either. I have to stop now in my tracks to text. Yes. Stop, definitely stop. I can't walk and text, or I'll end up, you know, walking off the side of a building or something.
I've actually taken the elevator. We only have two floors here. So generally, I just take the stairs, you know, keep getting my steps. But I will take the elevator if I have to text. I don't trust myself to walk up or down the stairs and text at the same time. It's getting pretty ugly.
Really. Anyway, so Alice and I, we drove to Florida and back like twice. This is the last month.
That's a long trip, too. Is it 10 or 11 hours?
Yeah. What, it depends on what part of Florida you go to. Yeah, one of them was 10 hours. Then we drove to Thursday night. We were in, we went over for Little Rock for an event with some of our supporters. And then we drove to Chattanooga and back Saturday for a wedding.
Oh, my.
And one day, I told my friends, who I love and respect, we've been friends for 35 years, so we needed to go to this wedding for their daughter. And but I told Allison, I said, you know what? If we drive 4 hours one way and we're going to drive 8 hours in one day for a wedding, the food better be good.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Or I'm going to have to say something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so fortunately,
the food was great.
You know, reception.
Oh, yeah.
Food.
8 hours.
That's why we go to weddings. Let's be honest about it. If we got, you know what I'm saying? We go to further reception.
I've just started becoming just incredibly honest as I get older. I just tell my wife, I don't really care for those people.
Right.
I don't like them. Do we have to go? Even to be polite. No, I don't. I don't do that.
Anyway, so, while I was on the road back and forth to wherever I was going over the, President Trump's been just dealing. Every hour on the hour, President Trump is shaking the world up, isn't he? Huh?
He is a wheeler and a dealer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be honest, I've never seen anything like this. The whirlwind of activity coming from that guy. And some people have taken to describing it as flooding the zone, which I know it may have multiple applications. I know it's a football term when you send several wide receivers into the same area, hope for some confusion on the defensive side of the ball and get a big completion. And that seems like what the president is doing, flooding the zone. The news media and the Democrats cannot harp on one thing like they typically do and make it sound like the end of the world, because the world has moved on to five other things after, you know, they may be outraged for 30 minutes, but then Trump's got something else going and they have to move on and cover it.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary.
Brad, what happened last Friday, or Thursday or Friday?
Last Thursday or Friday?
Whenever it was Pete Hexa.
Well, it was late Friday night.
Okay.
When he was confirmed. Now, there were three Republicans who voted against the confirmation of Pete Hegseth.
To be Secretary of Defense.
Yes. The expected, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, but Mitch McConnell also. So that caused Vice President Pence to come in and have to do the deciding vote. So I'm thinking about this. I guess there is an element inside the Republican Party that I would equate to Neville Chamberlain. They're just, you know, they don't like some of what's in Pete Hegseth's background, even though he has denied a lot of it, even though he said he's accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior and Jesus Christ has changed his life. That didn't mean anything to these individuals. They decided to vote against him. But nonetheless, today, Pete Hegseth is now Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter whether you pass by one or 100.
Nope.
You got all the power.
Yes.
In the office. Secretary of Defense is now the title for Pete Hegseth. So he did pass, and he is in that job as of today. He was sworn in.
Yes.
He was sworn in by Vice President Vance the other day.
Yes.
And you know what? I made the comment to some folks. I said, you know, there are millions of military people, families, active members, veterans around the country today and some around the world who are crying tears of joy at the announcement that Pete Hegseth is the Secretary of Defense. And it's the end of all this woke garbage being just slam down the throats of these military folks who can't do anything about it.
Yes.
And so that's over.
Yes.
That stops. In fact, you couldn't pick a more ardent opponent of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of the wokeness, what would you call it? Just the weak approach to defense is what I call it.
Yeah, I mean, well, the woke, you know, the DEI, all those kinds of things that we've been using, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That's over.
Those were all, I think part of the frustration was, as people have said many times, we've said it on this show, the job of the military, whether you wish the world was the way it is or not, the job of the U.S. military, as somebody once said, is to kill people and break things. It's not a petri dish. You're not supposed to be doing, you know, social science experiments using the military as your laboratory. And that's the way it was increasingly feeling to families who had members of their family going back to the Civil War, serving in the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. These were families that were proud to serve. Not everybody did, but there was always a member or two of the family who was serving. And we kept hearing from people who were a part of this. I know myself of someone who was in the Marines, who was a Marine Corps pilot, who just got out because this individual had retired but was helping train. And he said, I just got out. I could not stand the woke garbage that was going on. And a lot of family members, a lot of families said, we're not sending our young men to serve in a military where they're going to teach them this stuff.
Yeah.
Very bad. We were missing all of our recruitment goals for all the branches of the military.
Yeah. Well, speaking of our military, that is the big story this morning. That President Trump, just 1 week as number 47, overnight, he let it be known, and for some reason, he went to Peter Ducey at Fox to release this information.
They're going to be getting along just great.
I think so. But anyway, the news this morning, folks, is that those 8,000 roughly members of the United States military across the various branches who refused to take the COVID shot, they were thrown out of the military, thrown out. this morning. This is a promise that that Canada Trump made, that he would bring, offer to those people reinstatement at full salary.
And with that back pay.
With back pay. And that announcement came this morning. This is incredible news. Florida Congressman Brian Mast has been one of those who has been really pushing for this. Obviously, he welcomes this great news this morning. Cut number two.
Great day for patriots, great day for our service members, my brothers and sisters in arms. And let's not forget, you go back in time, and this, it wasn't just the military, it was other government agencies as well, where they were washing essentially conservatives that were raising their hands saying, hey, I don't want to take this vaccine. They were washing them out of government, washing them out of West Point and Naval Academy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine Academies, washing them out from being on the next promotion boards for first sergeants, sergeants majors, or officers. And they were creating a system where the ones that were going to be giving promotion to the next classes of individuals were all going to be those that didn't say, no, I'm not a conservative, and that, and you know, I'm okay with everything that you're doing right now. That's what was taking place.
Joe Biden created an absolutely horrible environment within our military, which goes to your point, guys. You know, recruitment was down dramatically, especially amongst what we would call military families, because I think dads were saying to their daughters and their sons, hey, don't go in the military now.
Right.
It's going to be a horrible experience. I have some personal background information from the military, from an individual who was in charge of bringing people along in the military. He basically was told, hey, you can't offend anybody anymore. If you make somebody sad, you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about drill sergeant. You know, it was the environment became so sick. They lowered the standards.
Right.
They created a whole new class of individuals who physically were not able even to get through boot camp. So they put them into another camp so they could lose a little bit of weight, hopefully, so they could go to boot camp. This is how bad it became. Just absolutely ridiculous. And don't forget, they also started pointing the finger if, ooh, you have a tattoo that looks suspicious to us. Maybe one of you're perhaps one of those right-wing radicals.
Right.
We don't want you. Oh, you're one of those fundamental Christians. We don't want you here.
Because the Biden administration was saying that conservatives were a threat to our democracy.
Yes.
So I can see where, and with that kind of mentality, you'd look at someone. You know, Pete Hegseth had to defend his tattoo of the Jerusalem cross, which is over 1,000 years old, has nothing to do with white supremacy.
No, and listen, let me ask you this. I think, so the big news is, as you said this morning, President Trump has announced that those who were fired by the military under Biden for not taking the COVID vaccine shot.
Yes.
They were fired. I mean, it doesn't matter how many years they'd been in the service, nothing. What their job was, they were gone because they didn't take the experimental shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's still unbelievable to me and just shameful. That's and tyrannical. I don't know what other words I can use stronger, but that's just and it put our country in a bad way because mm-hmm. it, you know, how many of them were there?
8,000.
8,000. And so he said, so Trump's, Biden said, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Kick them out. And so now President Trump has reinstated them.
Yeah, if they want to come back.
If they want to come back, I doubt.
Some of them, probably most of them have moved on.
But I wonder if you can go, hey, I'll take that offer. Put me back where I was and then stay there a week and then resign. That way you get your back pay.
Yeah.
What about that? Is that dishonest?
That'd be dishonest. They should be financially compensated. I don't know whether you get all your back pay or not, but they should be financially compensated
they were kicked out on their ear.
They joined the military in good faith and then were treated like this. There should be some money coming back that they would have just gotten their pay kind of thing. So
yeah. Anyway, so it's more of a statement than anything else, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But good for President Trump, and he kept a promise.
Kept a promise
with respect to these military folks.
Another big story this morning.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. President Trump was golfing yesterday.
Yeah.
But on the third hole, we're told, he was having a conversation with the president of Colombia. Because the president of Colombia said...
Not Columbia University.
Oh, no.
No, no. President of Colombia, the country.
The country, yes. The president of Colombia said, you can't send those illegal immigrants back to us. We're not going to accept them. So Trump says, okay, we're going to pile on the tariffs on your coffee and flowers. We get a lot of coffee and flowers from Colombia. And it didn't take too long that the president of Colombia said, okay, white flag, it's all right. You bring them down. In fact, the president of Colombia said, I'll even send my private jet up to help bring these illegals back to Colombia. From the third hole of the golf course to the eighth hole, this was all resolved.
It's about an hour.
Yeah, about an hour.
Hour and a half, maybe.
Yeah. Monica de la Cruz, who is a Republican from Texas, says Trump was showing great strength by basically telling Colombia this is the way it's going to be. Cut number five.
It's unacceptable that the far left Colombian government would not take their own citizens back. President Trump in the White House means making America strong again and making America respected again. And that's exactly what President Donald J. Trump did yesterday, is he showed that America, the United States is not going to back down, that we're going to send back illegal criminals to the countries and reappropriate them back to their countries, and the governments better take them back.
You know, this is, I'm sure there'll be some on the left who will accuse Trump of bullying a smaller country, but he didn't stick an aircraft carrier off the coast and say, you know, give us the coffee for free. He was just telling them, take your own people back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't bullying. Anyway, you cut this. He was using strong arm tactics to get Colombia to do what they should have done at the beginning. Venezuela was sending on purpose.
Yes.
They emptied their prisons and sent criminals to the United States. And I hope President Trump is just as hardline with Venezuela if they say we don't want them back, because they shouldn't be our problem.
Yeah.
They should be Venezuela's and Colombia's problem. You want them, you put them in prison. Yeah. You do something with them.
Well, I mean, Donald Trump's only been president for a week, less than a week, I guess, if you look at the hours. However, he is doing exactly what he said he would do. There were images last week of young men who were in chains boarding American military aircraft to take them to, Guatemala. These were flights down to Guatemala. Within hours, actually, after Trump became president, he had already started this. Hundreds have already been picked up and are being sent out of the country. Trump's border czar, Tom Holman, was interviewed on the weekend on ABC's This Week with host Martha Raddatz. And he put it very plainly to her. These are people who have broken the law to enter this country. Yes, we are justified for sending them home. Cut number seven.
We got military on the border, not only helping us with the departure flights on military planes, but they're helping to build infrastructures.
So is this what we will see every single day, ending in what the president has promised is millions and millions being deported?
Yes, but you can see the numbers steadily increase, the number of arrests nationwide as we open up the aperture.
When you talk about the aperture opening, the estimates of perhaps those who have been convicted or arrested in the past, 700,000 to over a million. So after you do that, then you go after everybody who is there illegally.
If you're in the country illegally, you're on the table, because it's not okay to, you know, violate laws of this country. You got to remember, every time you enter this country illegally, you violated a crime under Title 8 United States Code 1325. It's a crime. So if you're in the country illegally, you got a problem.
If you got a what now? Oh, illegally?
Yeah, if you're in the country illegally, you've got a problem.
You got a problem.
Well, listen, they're going, they being ICE and the Department of Homeland Security, they're tracking these violent criminals down, and they're rounding them up and putting them on airplanes and sending them back. I would say this. I know that's the first step, and that's what President Trump you know, is doing in his team there. I got a little bit of a question about sending people back where they're probably going to be just let free. I don't know if that's the case or, you know, I don't know if that's the case or not. But, I mean, these people committed violent acts, violent criminal. Well, do they have to be guilty of something? Because they just have to be gang members. Do you know?
I know that.
To be qualified as getting on the
apparently
plane.
Apparently, they're going into Colorado. I'm talking about ICE.
Yeah.
To try to round up these gang members. So I'm not sure. You know, Tom Homan was talking about the aperture, talking about like on a camera, how wide it opens up. I'm not sure what they're what criteria they're using. But certainly people who have been arrested for crimes, I don't know whether they've all had trials.
Yeah.
So but they're here illegally, so we certainly have the right to send them back anyway. We can say, listen, we don't have to give you a trial to find out if you're guilty. You're here illegally. You are arrested for this. You're going.
It was funny reading the governor of Illinois. He's a Democrat. Governor of Illinois. He was saying that, if they're here illegally and they're committing acts of violence or, you know, I guess drugs and that kind of things involved in drug gang activity, we're for getting rid of them. We are for deporting them. But then again, he says, well, the rest of them, though, we're going to protect them. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going like, scratch your head.
Governor Pritzker.
Then don't complain about the cost of housing all these folks. And if taking care of them, if you're going to say they're all welcome here unless they committed a crime here.
That's not reading the room, okay?
Right.
American people are having economic hardship, the vast majority, and they do not want the federal government using its resources or the state using their resources for people who aren't supposed to be here. Now, if everyone was doing well and prices were down and people are able to buy houses and they're able to do this and they're doing that, maybe the American people might say, all right, we've got some extra room, we've got some extra resources, let's let them stay. I don't think Pritzker and whatever Democrats are wanting to keep people here who came in illegally, I don't think that's reading the room. I think the American people are tired of government waste. When you get $700 from the federal government after your house burned down in Los Angeles County, you're not in a mood to say, okay, fine, we'll just start handing out EBT cards. And as you're always talking about, Tim, a gift card to Subway. Okay, that's stuff that should be staying here for people who pay taxes and who live here that are legal.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the two takeaways from this half hour. One is President Trump told the military he's offered a compensation and a take back for the military that Biden fired for not taking the experimental COVID vaccine shot.
Mm-hmm.
Whether who will take that and who won't, with back pay.
Yep.
With back pay. And the second thing is that he told the president of the country of Colombia, you take our planes. Well, I guess the Colombian president sent in his own plane. You either take back the criminals or the people we have that we don't feel like should be in our country that are from Colombia, which the Colombian president yesterday said, we're not doing that. We're not taking them back. They need to be flown in non-military planes because they need to have dignity. I was reading all this stuff that he said. And so Trump is on hole three. He gets to hole eight. By hole eight, after Trump said, oh, yeah, well, you will take them back, and we're going to slap you with 25% tariffs on all your products. And,
mm-hmm. and your ambassadors can't come in the country. Yeah, they had their visas revoked.
So it took him about from hole three to hole eight, being a golfer. I know that you're talking about an hour and 15 minutes.
That's like, okay, you have to the second half of the game to get this done.
Depending on whether you got a slow foursome in front of you, in which case it might take a little longer. But anyway, the point is Trump was out on the golf course on his phone doing international business, and as Elvis would say, TCOB.
I like the way I characterize Trump right now. He's in full Hulk mode.
Yes, he is.
Smash.
That's right. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this year's show. And for the United States of America, it's all good right now. Fred Jackson, our news reporter, has told us some what President Trump calls common sense things that have been taking place the last week or so since the president was sworn in.
Yep.
And so it's, anyway, every day is a new big thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. We talked about in the first segment, he's kind of flooding the zone. I think that the part of the difference between this term of office for the president and winning in 2016, coming into office in 2017, is that President Trump knows how the games are played in D.C. Mm-hmm. So he had people who were ready for day one, minute one, with things that they were going to do. Remember his first day, he signed whatever it was, 200 executive orders. Those were all ready to go, just awaited his signature. So he is constantly doing things and responding in a forceful manner. And as Fred said in the first segment, or maybe it was during the break, he is doing what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
So not really any surprises here.
Someone said, too, he's having a good time. In the first term, he was being pummeled.
Yes.
Almost from day one.
No one likes that.
Yes. But this time around, they say he's having a really good time, because he's settled in on what he's going to do, and he's not going to be stopped by negative media reports and all of that.
And he's got his own people.
Yes.
Remember, the first week of his first term, and starting again in 2017, there were two major leaks after phone calls. One was, I think, with the Australian prime minister, and there was another one, too. But leaks from within his own administration. So there were people who were in place who were part of the quote-unquote resistance. Yeah. That's what the Democrats themselves called it. And he was blindsided by a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And he's firing people left and right. He is giving them new quote-unquote opportunities to work in different places. We'll be talking about some of that here on this show. And so he means business. And like you said, he's having a good time doing it.
It's going to be interesting. I think he set a deadline, February 19th? For everybody to come back to work. They've been working from home since COVID three years ago.
What, the federal government employees in D.C.?
Yes.
Yeah, there was members of the Trump administration who went to their offices, and they said, I was shocked. There's only like half the people actually at work.
Yeah.
Everyone else was working remotely.
Yeah.
Yeah. As was Biden. I shouldn't say that. That was bad. I take that back.
Well,
you're okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm okay with it.
All right. I don't know.
There were parts of his mind that were certainly remote. Okay, so
that's what I was going to say, but you said it.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah, we stop right there.
There's no need. He lost.
He lost.
He's going to go eat ice cream, enjoy his millions.
Going to the vineyards of California, Northern California.
He's going to enjoy those millions of dollars he's saved off his minuscule presidential salary or wherever else it came from.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, joining us in studio is Dr. Andy Miller, who's the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and where their student bodies nationally and international. Andy, good morning to you.
Thanks, Tim. It's so good to be here.
Welcome to our studio here. Tell us about Wesley Biblical Seminary.
Yeah, well, we've been so thankful to be partners with AFAFR for many years. We've been around for 50 years. We started in a double-wide trailer on borrowed land south of Jackson, and we started with a conviction that there were people in the evangelical tradition who were sometimes in Methodist traditions or Wesleyan tradition, and we wanted to hold to the inerrancy of Scripture and the reality that people can experience God's grace in this life to be transformed in such a way they can become more like Christ. And so because we did that, we were sometimes seen as a little too conservative for the United Methodist Church, which would have been the largest tradition in the Wesleyan tradition. So for 50 years, we were never approved by the United Methodist Church.
To ordain pastors,
that's right. Yeah, we were accredited by all the Association of Theological Schools, the Association of Biblical Higher Education, so all of our academics were solid, but we could never help ordain pastors or get people
Why were
ready.
You considered too conservative for the United Methodist?
Well, and sadly, they had started from the very beginning with theological pluralism at its foundation.
I don't like that word.
I know it.
I don't even like that word, theological pluralism at its foundation. Are you talking about the Methodists?
That's right, United Methodists.
Okay, I grew up in United Methodist Church.
I know.
So I know what you're talking about.
Large denomination.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah, second largest Protestant denomination in America behind the Southern Baptist Convention. The trailblazing of the gospel in America,
absolutely,
by Methodists before they were United Methodists, just Methodists, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, Francis Asbury,
yes.
Is quite frankly unparalleled. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
In Protestant Christianity, at least, I mean, one time there was a Methodist church in every county in America. So the famous circuit riders.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, so the tradition of spreading the gospel of Christ in North America is you could go back and say to the Methodists they were a large part of that. But as you say, as oft happens with organizations, they get too big, maybe too bloated, and then they start compromising on their core convictions, mm-hmm. and then they fade into. I mean, this is something
that
repeats itself,
Yeah,
right?
That's what's happened. So, like, they started with this, and they started to form institutions. They wanted to be respectable.
Right.
But we want to be connected, and we are connected to that tradition of Francis Asbury that, you know, brought the gospel all over the United States. And so what happened is they formed these institutions, large academic institutions that ended up putting themselves in a place where they were unfaithful.
Right.
And so it became a bureaucracy. So we've always been a non-denominational school, but we could never get to the table because we weren't a part of the good old boys network there.
Well, and I do want to encourage people that those faithful members of the United Methodist Church, many of whom have come out of that denomination, are remaining faithful to the faith once handed down
Amen.
To the saints and are connecting. What's interesting is through this whole process, and I remember coming here to work at AFA in 96, but some of this had started happening in the early 90s. I remember Bishop's Sprague, I think, up in maybe Illinois, that part of the Midwest. These people who were making huge decisions for the denomination, but leaving biblical Christianity. But what's interesting is that as that process has unfolded, the American Methodists who are faithful are connecting with faithful Methodists around the globe.
Amen. Yes, and absolutely.
And so from Africa, for example.
Yes, yeah.
And so those connections, it seems like God is honoring the faithfulness of believers all over the world. So
tell us,
I was going to say, even though institutions may kind of calcify and turn away and or stop being faithful, no longer being faithful, God honors people who remain faithful to the
Amen.
Faith.
Dr. Andy Miller, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary, is in studio with us. Just real quickly, tell us your story. Where are you from? How'd you gonna come to know the Lord and all that?
Thank you. Yeah. I'm really thankful to grow up in a Christian family. I was six generations in the Salvation Army. My grandfather was a leader of the Salvation Army in the United States. And
you moved around?
I moved all over the Midwest. I went to seminary, ended up serving in the Salvation Army myself for 15 years all across the South. I married a Southerner. My wife's from South Georgia. And so even though my accent doesn't fit in here, I've been here most of my adult life.
And you know what peanut farmers do then.
Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah.
So I came to Christ there, and I just felt a call to preach and then to serve the church. And,
Amen.
So anyway, that's a part of where God's led me.
Okay. Who do you want to – you're here to do devotion for our staff here and visit with us, but you also are here as an ambassador for Wesley Biblical Seminary. Give you one opportunity here to make your pitch to our listeners. Who needs to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is we're sending out trusted leaders for faithful churches. And there is, like you said, this remnant of people who've come together who are faithful to the gospel in that Methodist tradition. And not just, we're not only restricted to Methodists, we're a non-denominational school, but for people who are looking for faithful pastors, I hope that they'll look to Wesley Biblical Seminary for resources, but also people who are interested in going deeper in their faith, not just those who want a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree. We're glad to do that. We have a lay initiative. You can find out more about us at wbs.edu. So we have a real sense that God has equipped us for this moment to train pastors, to train leaders, so they're ready to serve faithful churches all over the world.
Well, there's a lot of
wbs.edu.
wbs.edu.
There's a lot of pastors who are leaving the ministry because of stress and strain.
Right.
So there may be people out there listening who go, I've felt a calling to serve the church.
Yes.
Wesley Biblical Seminary,
WBS.edu.
Might be a place to look to get
Absolutely.
Some training. To be
We're
able
fully
to do
available
that.
Online. We have all of our classes, but you have live interaction with a professor via Zoom. But we have a campus course in the Jackson area where people can come. But most of our, we've had amazing growth in the last year and a half with the emergence of the Global Methodist Church.
Amen.
We've added more than 400. So we have 430 Global Methodist Church pastors right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Tim. God bless
by.
You.
Yeah, all right, appreciate it very
ministry.
Much. That's Dr. Andy Miller, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary, stopping in to join us. He's in Tupelo today visiting with some of our team.
You know, God is working, and Christians need to remember that. It's easy. Now, of course, a lot of Christians have a lot more optimism now because the cultural Marxists didn't win, okay? But there's still a lot of work to be done, and people need to remember that God is working behind the scenes and doing things that you don't hear about in the news media, sometimes you know nothing about, but God. You know, we had last summer, remember, we had revivals breaking out on college campuses around the country, Ohio State even, but, you know, some Asbury, I think, as well.
What do you mean by that, Connecticut? Ohio State even?
Well, what
like
I mean is, was
Notre Dame fan or something? You still harbor resentment for the ball game?
I do. That's not where this is coming
That's
from.
That's what it sounded like.
Okay, so let me explain.
Reset that.
I'm going to reset. Even in colleges that are not specifically Christian, there were revivals and awakenings growing. Even a place as desperately dark as Ohio State.
You're digging your hole.
Yeah, I'm just kidding, Ohio.
People, don't email Fred and me.
No.
We didn't say this. If you live in Ohio.
I heard nothing.
I'm joking, dear listeners.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Fred, what's your next story?
Well, you know, what's different in this administration from Trump's first administration, he has a team of people that are very good when they're invited on to these ABC, NBC, they know how to handle themselves. And I'll tell you what, Vice President J.D. Vance, boy, he is really good. Now, on the weekend, Vice President J.D.
He's
Vance.
He's from Ohio, by the way.
That's
yes,
right.
Great state.
And went to Ohio State University.
It's a great school.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So apologies to J.D. Vance from Ed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's listening.
Yes. But J.D. Vance was on CBS's Face the Nation. And he face down the host of the program saying, hey, you guys promised that grocery prices would go down. When are we going to see that? Yeah. So have a listen to what J.D. Vance had to say about that. Cut number 9.
Prices are going to come down, but it's going to take a little bit of time, right? The president has been president for all of 5 days. One of the main drivers of increased prices under the Biden administration is that we had a massive increase in energy prices. Donald Trump has already taken multiple executive actions that are going to lower energy prices, and I do believe that means consumers are going to see lower prices at the pump and at the grocery store.
You know, we're going to see a lot of this. I read a lot of Associated Press stuff. And the Associated Press, here's the modus operandi. We're going to go out and find somebody who disagrees with Trump.
Yeah.
They are going to become the lead story. Instead of what it was with the Biden administration, the mainstream media was out writing press releases.
Yeah.
You know, what wonderful things the Biden administration is doing. What you're going to see now, folks, and just a heads up on this, you're going to see from the mainstream media, they'll find somebody who disagrees with what Trump is doing. They will become the story.
Because it's really the opinion of a Associated Press.
Oh, absolutely.
But they want to protect their journalistic integrity. So
yes,
we'll say what we want to say by finding the people out there who agree with what we think.
Yes. And you're going to see that over and over again. By the way, in the same interview, J.D. Vance was asked by the CBS's Face the Nation host Margaret Brennan over whether or not immigrants the U.S. Being deported, are they being vetted or not? Here's his response.
Left literally at the airport this week were thousands of Afghans, who some of whom had worked with the United States government and were promised to come here. When you talked to us in August, you said, I don't think we should abandon anybody who's been properly vetted and helped us. Do you stand by that?
Well, Margaret, I don't agree that all these immigrants or all these refugees have been properly vetted. In fact, we know that there are cases of people who allegedly were properly vetted and then were literally planning terrorist attacks on our country. And now that we know that we have vetting problems with a lot of these refugee programs, we absolutely cannot unleash thousands of unvetted people into our country.
These people
are not
vetted. These people are vetted.
Just like the guy who planned a terrorist attack in Oklahoma a few months ago, he was allegedly properly vetted.
It wasn't clear if he was radicalized when he got here or while he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country, and I think most Americans agree with me.
Listen, that's that kind of hostility that the Trump administration, this time they're expecting it and prepped for it. And I agree, J.D. Vance did a great job there. He knew what he wanted to say and had some good comebacks. But that's not honest journalism, what the Trump administration is going to be going through after 4 years of shilling for the Biden administration, softball questions, nothing like the tenacity with which she was interviewing the vice president of the United States. You never saw any of that unless it was from Peter Ducey or someone from the Fox Network. There were a couple, maybe a few. But the vast majority of the mainstream media just gave them all a free ride.
By the way, while we're on J.D. Vance, he marched and spoke at the March for Life.
Yes.
On what day was it?
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. And there was a picture of him holding up a sign, said, I am the pro-life generation.
Yeah.
It was great to see. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear his talk. Mm-hmm. But he said something to the effect, we need more babies.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
But the fact that Vice President Vance would go to the March for Life and march and speak was a way of the Trump-Vance administration thanking the pro-life voters, I should say, because a lot of people vote on that issue.
Right.
And
single-issue voters.
Yeah, the big voting bloc. And but it was a way for President Trump and Vice President Vance to stay engaged with the pro-life community and to say show a show of appreciation for the voters that came out to cast their ballot for Trump Vance. And so that was good to see. Did you see see that picture?
I sent it around. I did see the picture. This is unusual for anyone, president or vice president, to show up at one of these marches, March for Life. Usually they avoid it. Yeah. Or they send a message.
Too controversial.
Yes.
Yes.
Good on J.D. Vance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Trump spoke to the group, too. Now, by video.
By video, yeah.
Because Trump was busy traveling to North Carolina and California. Yes.
And Trump did personally speak at the March for Life a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was the first president ever to do so in person. Yeah. In person. So, anyway, good for him and good for the Trump Vance team there. It was good to see the Vice President of the United States out with the group that was in Washington.
And I like the sign.
Yeah.
Listen, J.D. Vance is not that old. To me, he represents...
How old is he? Is he like 40? How old is he? Look it up.
40s at most.
I think I thought you 39. Brent's going to look it up. He's 40.
40.
Okay. Yep. He's 40. So... I like the fact that there are still a lot of young people who are willing to take a stand for life, and they're not ashamed of it, and we saw that with J.D. Vance. Good on him.
40 years old.
Well, and Pete Hegseth, too, is very young.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it's going to be an exciting period just to go back to Pete Hegseth, what he plans to do in the military. And going to the abortion, the pro-abortionists already are saying, you know, what's going to happen, because under the woke policies for our military, it included a military member paying for abortions.
Yeah.
For even if they had to go out of the state where they were based, the taxpayers of America were paying for that.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that's going to end also.
And the Biden administration also paying for sex change?
Yes.
For quote-unquote transitions for soldiers who wanted to transition. The bizarre nature of what we saw under the Biden administration, I just said this morning, I am physically relieved. I mean, because we are constantly being, vexed. Is a biblical word, vexed at what was going on day after day after day, coming from the Biden administration and the leftists and the cultural Marxists, constantly assaulted by this craziness, and now we do see a shift and a return to normalcy, which I hope lasts at least 4 years, but maybe this is a permanent turning point.
Well, it's also happening in corporate America too. You know,
Target. Look what Target did.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I was surprised. You know, there's a bunch of companies, Walmart, some of the other big companies, all said we're getting rid of our DEI programs.
Right.
All right. On Friday, Target, which is, I would say, run by a very left-wing ideology.
Based in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And I think our listeners are very familiar with what AFA has had to say about men and women's changing rooms and all of that. But on Friday, Target announced that it is getting rid of its DEI programs. And conservative activist Robbie Starbuck, who's been very involved in pressuring corporations to get rid of their DEI programs, he responded to that. Cut number 11.
Target was put on notice at the end of November that we were coming for them when we were able to flip the woke policies at Target. Knowing that a story was coming, Target executives wisely got together and figured out how to get rid of some of these woke policies. So the Target corporation is no longer going to be participating in the HRC CEI scoring system. And not only that, but they will not have merchandise marketed to kids for Pride going forward. Number two, Target is announcing an end to their three-year DEI goals. Change number three, they are concluding their racial equity action and change initiatives for 2025 and beyond. Change number four, employee resource groups are going to be expected to be focused on the core business, development, and mentorship, not wokeness. Change number five, they will be reevaluating all of their corporate partnerships to ensure they are directly connected to their business. And last but not least, they are going to be evolving their supplier diversity to a supplier team where everything's on merit. It's not about giving preferential treatment to any, quote, diverse suppliers. It's just going to be who's the best supplier, the way that every business should be run.
You may have missed it right off the top of his list there. He said they're not going to participate in the HRC. That's the Human Rights Campaign. The Human Rights Campaign has had this list out there.
It's called the Equality Index.
Yes. And you're a good guy if you came on that list if you did all the right things for the Human Rights Campaign, which is the nation's largest pro-homosexual organization. What Target is saying, we're not even going to participate in that anymore. We're not interested. This is huge for an organization that's still, let's face it, they're fairly left in their ideology as a corporation. But it is amazing what's going on. There's a revolution going on in this country right now. And it's got the left's head spinning.
Well, that's, to me, is the biggest announcement, was not participating in the Human Rights Campaign Equality Index. And what that means is that Human Rights Campaign would give a 100% rating if you were doing all the things they had listed. And they send a questionnaire to these corporations. And they answer and they get scored. So you could be down to 0% or 100% or somewhere in between. To me, that's huge, because the DEI thing they're backing out of, you could look at that and say, well, that's a money saver. So they're taking political cover with the Trump administration and saving themselves some money. But not doing HRC's bit, that's even more telling.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. We've had good news, and more good news.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We'll see what...
I'll take it.
Yes. Huh?
All right, we will be back in 5 minutes with more of Good News Today's Issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.